Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and DebEvansConsulting.com.
Well, it is February and it is still winter, and from what I've heard, we're going to have winter for a while. This is Deb Evans coming to you from Stagecoach, Texas, outside of Houston, where it is not as cold as it is in the rest of the world. AK, are you froze to death?
Yes? I'm not, but you just do it by now.
I don't know. I love watching Facebook and watching everybody showing their pictures of the snow piled up to their door and over their mailboxes.
Yep.
And driveways and, you know, courts being plowed to where you can't get out. And I'm honestly, I do not miss any of that. Crap. It's crap.
Yeah. Yeah, the top of our big front tree snapped off this morning.
That's scary stuff. Really,
yeah.
Too cold. So it's been a month since we've been together. We've got, I don't know, what's been going on with you?
I don't even know.
Too cold, too stuff. Well,
just working
will.
Like crazy.
Yes, you are working like crazy because, so my Franchise Foundry website, and if anybody wants to go there, it's franchisefoundry.com, launched this week. And I have to admit that I've my favorite tab is the community tab. I really, really love that. And to the thanks of AK Stout and all her wisdom and WordPress knowledge, you got my site to where I really like it. You did a great job.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never know.
It takes, you get the feel. But, yeah, I got lots of compliments on it. It's live. I love the logo. I think Leonard with Double S Solutions, who did the logo, did a great job. And that was kind of fun trying to crowdsource. It's like, you really don't want to take it personally, but, you know, when someone writes, I think you need to find a new graphic artist. I'm like, really? I really like these three options. Why do I have to go find somebody new? And then, you know, just the arguing back and forth. No, they don't have to find somebody new. They just need to do this or that. It's like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm happy with it. And I guess,
I like it a lot.
Yeah, very good. So we have our guests from another part of the cold, cold world. And Zach Munson, how are you?
I'm very cold. It's I don't know what else to say except I'm very cold. But I'm inside now, and I'm not driving down a snowy patch of interstate in the upper Midwest anymore. So life is good.
Good. Yeah, I just can't imagine being that cold. And I know Dana Lopez was listening in because I saw him in the chat room a little earlier. So I don't think Arizona has been hit with the frigid cold that some of us have had. So he should be warm. But tonight we're going to talk all social media and franchising. And Jack's been a guest several times, and we've had all kinds of new things going on. But Jack, do you remember when we attended IFA and the first tweet up, which I believe was just Jenny Dietrich? I don't even remember what year that was.
That was 2009, and the tweet up was so small, I can name everyone who was at the tweet up. it was Jenny Dietrich and myself, And my good friend and colleague from Engage One-to-One, Brian Smith, and there were maybe about six or seven other people. And at the time, it was that new social media thing that some people in franchising know about. Those were the people who showed up at the tweet up. But you know, fast forward a mere 5 years. And I mean, my gosh, what a difference! With the number of franchise systems that are not just dabbling in social media, doing something in social media, but actually socializing their entire business and making getting new customers, getting new leads, and actually growing their business from social media, which like I said, a mere 5 years ago was just kind of a funny little thing we were doing at the IFA conference on a random Monday afternoon or something like that. So
Now, we were talking social media at that particular conference, but there weren't that many sessions, and most of those sessions weren't that well attended, and people were looking at us like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
It
really was. There were, back then it seemed like it was still the thing that, that's for kids. A lot of franchisors were saying at the time, our target audience is not teenagers. It's, women 24 to 35 or, men 34 to whatever age group. And I think what's changed is not just their perception of that, but the actual consumer's usage of especially Facebook, but also some of the other social channels. I joke now that if your target audience is teenagers, don't even bother with Facebook anymore, right? So it's the perception of who's using the social media tools has changed. But in all reality, the actual consumers have changed too. I mean, if you have a consumer product that you're selling to adults in the United States and abroad, you need to be reaching out to them on Facebook and other social channels, period. So, I think it's we've just seen so much change over the past 5 years, and at times franchising has had to sort of catch up with the other brands and some of the companies that were sort of leading the way in social and digital marketing. But also there are a few franchise systems that have really become leaders themselves and are really showing other franchisors and other types of companies great ways to market and do other things with their companies on social media channels. So, if we started in 2009, 2010, and 11, few more people were getting involved. I think it was probably by 2011, wouldn't you say, that social media and especially social media marketing actually became a real topic at IFA. Do you think it was 2011?
Yeah, probably about then.
Maybe a little later. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, again, the topic got stronger. There were more sessions. The Technology Summit, I don't remember what year that was the first. Maybe 2011 was the first time we had the Technology Summit as part of IFA convention where you had one full session. AK, I have a question for you. When you first started in the social media industry, were you working with that franchise brand at the time?
I was. That's how I got into it. The in-home care franchise that I was working for, I started doing social media for them on a national level, and then kind of started working with some of the franchisees on the side. So that was in 2009.
Yeah. Now, so you were one of that brand was one of the first brands that was using it. And I don't want to mention the brand. I hope no one pins it. How do I word this? Because for their early adoption of using it, I don't think they're that far ahead, you know, they are where I thought they would be for using it so early on.
Right. Yeah.
Making sense. Trying not to be rude here.
Yeah.
That was very diplomatic.
I hope so.
Well, I can tell you what their problem is. I'm no longer doing it for them.
Going to say that was, you know, the other one.
I'm back. Yeah.
Because, I mean, Jack, you work with so many brands, and so you've seen that as well, you know, the early adopters that, okay, yeah, let's do this. We're going to dabble in it and full force and then go, you know, and they just die off.
Yeah, and actually, to AK's point, it really isn't about the brand. It's about the people working at that brand or within that system. It's oftentimes having a champion who's leading the senior management, you know, in the right direction, saying, you know, this is a place where we can grow our business. And it's also, you know, having a CEO who is open to, you know, new channels of customer acquisition and new channels of lead acquisition, and not just doing the same old thing over and over and over. Engage One-to-One has been working with franchise systems since, believe, 1999 was our first franchise client, well before there was such a thing as social media, doing other types of marketing services, other types of marketing and business intelligence software, and that all sort of gradually led us down the road to social media. And, you know, it's funny, we keep talking about the year 2009. That was really when we made the big jump from public relations and marketing services to really jumping into social media as well. And I will say it was really our clients who sort of pushed us into the deep end of that pool. We did have quite a few franchisors that were saying, you know, tell us about Facebook. Tell us about Twitter. How is this going to help us? What can you guys do to help us and grow our business? So when you have clients and AK, the same for you with your clients and the franchisor you were working with at the time, when you've got a client saying, you know, this is what we need, it was, you know, a pretty easy decision for us to jump in. And you know, looking back, I'm really glad we did.
So would either one of you say that, you know, the successful brands that use digital marketing or social media today, what you've established so far is the leadership, you know, someone that's a brand champion or they're the leadership within the brand, how much of their success is because, too, the system, whether it's the franchisees and or the community, have a part or a stake in it or have some skin in the game? Does that matter?
I think it absolutely matters. Many times the lead has to come from corporate, from the franchisor. You've got to lead the franchisees in the right direction. Just like our clients have come to us looking for the answers, many times the franchisees are looking to the franchisor saying, you know, what do we do in social media? This is where we need help. And even the ones that are doing it, the number one thing we hear is we need content. We need someone to give us stuff to talk about. So it really does make the franchisor have to consider themselves in a leadership position. That being said, the actual engagement has got to happen on the local level, and we've spoken about that many times.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's like anything else in franchising; it's got to be a mix between the local level and the corporate folks.
I have a good sort of example to make to that point, especially about how important it is for the franchisor sort of to lead by example, but also to make sure that the franchisees know what they're doing. It sort of sounds like a no-brainer, and maybe my specific example was just the franchisee didn't know what was going on in the world. But I met with a guy who owns a franchise near me, and he wanted my help with social media. And I said, you know, well, does corporate provide you with a lot of support? Do they provide you with content? Are they very active on their social media channels? Do they blog? Yada, yada, yada. And he goes, I don't know. He's like, I don't really think that they get it. He's like, I don't think that they do much at all. And I told him I had, like, been out. I hadn't gotten a chance to research them at all before I ran into this meeting on a spur of the moment. So I went home, and I looked them up, and they actually are very active as sort of a national brand on social media channels. They're always doing things on their Facebook. They do have a blog. So I was kind of like, where was the disconnect there? Was he just not reading his emails? Or, you know, did they just think, oh, we'll just do it, and, you know, maybe they'll notice type of thing? So I thought that was an interesting dynamic.
It is surprising to come across things like that. Well, that's lack of communication, I think, on someone's end, whether it's the franchisee or the franchisor. The franchisor is not communicating or the franchisee is not listening. But now today I had a similar incident to where I was working with someone at a corporate franchise, and we were exploring LinkedIn and looking at, you know, LinkedIn and company pages, and said, you know, was trying to explain how you set up a company page, and just said, well, let me just, you know, link in and do a search. And it's like, lo and behold, they already had a company page, but it was not done by the corporate. It was done by a local franchisee. So then I need to talk to the franchisor and say, okay, here's what you need to do. You need to go back to that franchisee and say, they can't have that page. They can't represent the franchise itself, but it was certainly a fail, or, you know, I don't want to say a fail, but, you know, the franchisor that's now jumping into social media and trying to understand it, the franchisees got ahead of them. And I was surprised by that. I thought we were pretty much past that, that franchisees weren't ahead of the franchisors. But I guess we're not. I guess that's
I think it depends on the system, and it depends on, you know, we keep going back to, you know, who's working there, who's making the decisions at the corporate level, and were they you know, putting things in place 2 years ago, 3 years ago that you know, you'd really notice now. Though I will say this, I've got a couple of case studies that I can share with anybody who might be interested. You can shoot me an email, but we often run into especially franchisees who say, you know, well, we don't have much of a presence yet, and, you know, we're embarrassed about it. We don't have any followers, and it, you know, what are we going to do? It's too late, you know. And I really just really love to show everybody some case studies on some franchisees that my colleagues and I have worked with, and some other people in the industry have worked with, that it really doesn't take a very long time to build a community. You know, we've got some franchisees that have gone from zero to 200 fans on Facebook within a month. And, you know, some people might think 200 fans, that's not very many, but compared to zero, it's a whole lot, you know. And especially if it's, you know, just one store in whatever city and state, 200 people within a month said, yeah, I like your store. That's huge, you know, and if just a fraction of those people come into your store, that's fantastic. So, you know, I really want to, you know, sort of guard people against that idea that it's too late, we don't have enough fans, and, you know, the social media has passed us by. It really couldn't be further from the truth. It doesn't take very much time or resources to just get the community started. So it really isn't ever too late.
I agree. And today I had another incident where I was talking to – somehow I got roped into or volunteered to help a local business that I frequent all the time. I went in there last weekend and it says like us on Facebook. Well, they had like this little piece of paper stuck up on their counter, like us on Facebook. And it's like, really? So let me see if you check. Let me check in. And I checked in and I'm saying, oh, geez, you guys need some help with that. Oh, you can help us, right? It's like, okay. So I go back in today and sitting down with them to look at their Facebook page and suggestions. They said, I can't find your website. And they looked at me and said, we don't have one. I went, okay. This is the first time I've ever experienced. This is a little backwards. Why don't we talk about getting a website going? It really is a very well-established local business that's been in this area forever. I've gone there for 9 years since I've lived here, but I put them in touch with somebody who's like, you really, they've got, and you talk 200, they had 200 and I think 30 followers or fans on Facebook, but they don't have a website. It's like, I don't know that I've ever come across that before where they have a Facebook page and not a website.
Yeah, that's very strange. And I, you know, I sometimes tell our clients and other people in the industry that you really need to focus more attention on Facebook than your website, because there are more people who are interested in seeing what you're doing on Facebook than, you know, some corporate site. However, that's a little bit of an extreme situation where they don't even have a corporate site.
They don't have a site.
Wow.
I mean, it's a local business, and okay, it's, you know, local, but I for search, and this is where I'm going with the two of you. You know, was I correct in advising them to get a website going? Because I'm thinking for search engine, yeah. You know, someone goes on the web, they go to Google, and they're searching whatever it is. Let's say it's a card business or a vet or whatever it might be, a dentist. It's like, are they going to find Facebook really faster?
Yeah. What happens when you search anything, look for anything on Google, and you can't find the actual company's website, what do you think of that company?
Yeah.
You think it must be a scam, right? It must be, you know, somebody working out of, you know, the trunk of their car, or they closed down, or they're not in business anymore, or it's, you know, some overseas scam thing, and you just instantly, they just instantly lose all credibility with you. So, even if you don't have a big flashy site with a lot of content and, you know, so much stuff that, you know, we do see a lot of companies that I think spend a little too much time and money on developing a lot of pages on a site that no one's looking at. But you've got to have something, even if it's just to show you the
landing page
that you're an actual business. And, and you know, it's kind of like having it's sort of like having a social security number at this point. You've got to have a website. You've got to have a phone number and a website, right?
Again, it's one of those things you just think, okay, I thought we were way past that. But even for, in a small town, that's like Stagecoach, Texas, they and what I was told by the owner, it's like, well, you know, all I come here is Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. And, you know, that's why I jumped in there. It's like, okay, I got it. But go back there and go back to square one and do a website. So, cool. So in franchising, you know, social media has changed and it's evolved a lot. But what big changes have the two of you really seen within franchising as far as the use of social media? You know, blogs, Twitter, Facebook, or
I would say for most of the franchise systems I work with, it's mostly on Facebook. And it's just a huge amount of growth. It's gone from being, you know, simply a promotional tool to being more of an engagement tool. So, you know, that's a very good thing. So many franchisors, even just a few years ago, all they were doing on Facebook is, you know, putting up their promotional messages and flyers and that sort of thing, and not getting a lot of engagement from it. So I think a lot of companies have done a great job of putting out more engaging content, more valuable stuff that people actually want to read, and even more importantly, want to share. And on top of that, I would say the other big change that I've seen in the past, we'll say 2 years, is the amount of advertising that franchisors are doing on Facebook and other social networks, but Facebook is really the most successful one right now, and actually spending some advertising dollars on Facebook ads versus some of the other more traditional advertising channels that that may not be as cost-effective these days. So, and I think that's the trend that I see really spiking this year. I think more franchisors are going to spend more money on Facebook if they have to, you know, move that out of other budgets. I think that would be a very good thing at this point. That's absolutely what I'm advising a lot of companies to do right now.
Hmm. And AK, I know that you spend a lot of time on Facebook with your clients and in advertising, but how do you think the analytics are as far as Facebook? Is it very useful for folks to go into the insights and see when their folks are on, their fans are online, or how useful
that's
is that information?
What you just mentioned there is actually my favorite thing, and I don't know, you know, exactly how accurate it is. But it, yeah, if you go into your insights and you click on the, it's sort of in a, like a menu bar across the top, like a navigation. If you click on posts, a little graph will pop up and it'll tell you, it'll have all 7 days of the week and it'll have like a bar graph and it'll tell you how many of your fans were on Facebook during that 7 day period. And so, I mean, if you have 17,000 fans, it could be, you know, 10,000 were on, you know, Sunday, and 2,000 were on, you know, Monday morning. And then it'll tell you more specifically, kind of like I just alluded to, at what times during the day for those particular days people are on. So it shows you sort of a trending line up and down. So it'll show you on average. So it gives you a good idea of what times that you should be posting. And then if you go to a day and then you hover your cursor over the graph, the line sort of shifts up and down to adjust for that day in particular. So if you have something really important to post, you can really see, okay, on Wednesday, you know, most of my fans were on, and then I hover my cursor over the graph, and the majority of them were on at 9 o'clock at night on that Wednesday. So you can really sort of get a sense and trends of when people are on. I work with a client who they always want to give me content for their sales, and they'll give it to me ahead of time, but they don't want me to launch the post until the morning that the sale is happening. So I said, you know, it really, if you could just let people know the night before when the majority of the people are on, where instead of we're looking at this graph and nobody's on at 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, and then it just trends on upwards towards the day, capping out about 9 o'clock at night. If we could post at 9 o'clock the night before, you're going to let so many more people know than if we're waiting to do it the day of. So that was sort of, I was able to justify my ask and being able to publish those notifications a little bit sooner using that. So, yeah, I think there's definitely some valuable information in there.
Well, and I know you had posted that tip some time ago, and so I started looking at it with my clients, and I was pretty surprised that, you know, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon for a few of the clients, and it's the same industry, so it makes really sense, is that that's when their folks are online. It's like I never would have dreamed like 3 o'clock. Here's what we determined, because of the education franchise. I said, I figured it out. I know why it's 3 o'clock. It's the moms that are in the
line.
Yes, they're in the carpool
line. Yeah,
and they're on Facebook. And then I think about it myself and the friends that I have that are picking up kids. And if I'm online at 3 o'clock, it's like, okay, I know Selena will be posting or so and so will be posting because they're in the carpool line.
Yep.
And it's like, oh my God, that is. It was just like that light bulb. It's like, okay, if you're marketing to moms and you know that they're in the carpool line, hit Facebook between the hours of 2:30 and 4. You're going to catch them.
Exactly. Yep.
And then hit them again. and then hit him again about 11 p.m., which we call wine o'clock.
Yep.
Because the kids are all down, and what does mom do? Boom, right back onto social channels.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. It's just you gotta look to see. And so I love that insights and to look at it. And then I have to remember when I'm talking to my clients and say, okay, let's look at yours, because yours are gonna look a lot different from mine. And don't take advice from a friend who says, oh, you know, you should only post at 7 o'clock at night. It's like, no. Look at your own. Look at your insight.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that is pretty cool. So, on the same topic of Facebook advertising, tips from either one of you. There's that range you can, you know, advertise. AKA our friend Shelley Roth did a tip not too long ago about testing $1 a day. It's kind of social campaign, and we know that you can run ads for $5 or $100 or any kind of tips you have there for folks that want to start using Facebook advertising?
The biggest tip I would throw out there is do your ads that are focused on a specific action. Awareness-type ads are wonderful for billboards and television and Super Bowl commercials and that sort of thing. But I think where you really get your bang for your buck on a Facebook ad is for when it's for a specific event, sale, something they can click through on that ad to purchase something or sign up for something or enter a contest or get a coupon or something like that. That's what we see more consumers interacting with on the advertising side, and the more clicks that that consumers are clicking on, much more than if it's just some sort of generic ad with a logo and, you know, a picture or something like that. So, and by the way, it also has the added benefit of you can actually measure how well those sales coupons, contests, promotional offerings, and so forth, you can measure how well those are doing for you simply by, you know, the number of paid clicks that you're getting from the Facebook ad. So, you know, $1 a day is not a bad amount to look at for basically any franchisee or any small business. You know, we're seeing some pretty good success with franchisees that are spending under $25 or even under $20 a month on Facebook ads.
Yeah, I would definitely say that you have to just be prepared to pay something at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I've been doing a lot lately with people who I mean, I got them onto Facebook. They hadn't even been using it personally. They didn't know anything about it. We got them up to, you know, a sizable amount of fans, and then they wanted to take it over. So I did a whole training with them and everything, and I tried to drive home the point about the algorithms and this, that, and the other thing. But I think it was just too much information at one time. And I was getting these emails, and they were like, people don't like me at all. They're like, what are you talking about? And they were like, I feel like I come up with the most carefully crafted posts, and they're clever, and they're witty, and they're attention-grabbing, and, you know, they should be engaging, and it's crooked. And nobody's, you know, people just don't like me. And I said, well, you know, it's not necessarily that your content is horrible. It's that people just aren't being given the opportunity to see it. I said, you know, because, you know, there's still a great deal of people, I feel like, who are the admins of their own Facebook page who don't know that Facebook does not automatically send out those posts to all 17,000 of their fans. They just think they hit the button and boom, there it goes, and now all of these people should like it if it was really carefully crafted. You know, so I think that's the big thing, too, is just making people aware of, you know, what that boosted post button means. And I think Shelley's right. I on a lot of my posts, now I used to never do this. I used to kind of test the waters first, but now when I sign up a new client, in addition to quoting them the price for my services, I quote them an additional Facebook ad spend. Because, you know, really, at some point, it's kind of like it's not worth it if you're not willing to pay a little bit for it. So I do, like, $5 a post, you know, here and there, to see where our traffic is. And if we've gotten a really, really good reach, I might pause the promotion or cancel the promotion at that point, and maybe it hasn't, like, been a dollar or so. But I think you definitely have to know that you have to be prepared to spend a little bit.
So, Jack, do you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're to the point now where it's just sort of a given that some of the dollars you're putting into whatever social media budget you're going to do for the brand and for the franchisees, a portion of that is going to go into Facebook advertising. If a brand isn't willing to do that, that's sort of, I think, as marketers, that's our first sign to say, wait a second, are they really understanding what social media is all about? And if they're not willing to do some advertising in social media these days, I think we need to do some more education with people that this isn't just free advertising. And I think that was sort of the good and bad news about social media a few years ago was, it's Facebook and it's all this free publicity. Well, yeah, it is free publicity, but it's a lot more complex than that. And you know, there is an advertising element to it. Facebook is not allowing brands to communicate with consumers out of the goodness of Facebook's heart. You know, they're in it to make money, and now that they're a public company, they're really in it to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think you're going to beat Facebook and not spend any money with Facebook, I think we need to have a conversation. But I think, you know, the good news is this, is if you compare Facebook advertising, as well as, you know, we should also talk about Twitter and LinkedIn and some other things too, but really right now Facebook seems to be the play. If you look at what you have to spend on Facebook to move the needle versus what you have to spend in all of these other things that franchisors and franchisees have spent ridiculous amounts of money on over the years, including television and yellow page ads and direct mail, right? Facebook is the best bargain on earth right now. It really, really is.
Yeah, and I mean, they're not going to give up their SEO or Google AdWords and everything for their website. But I've actually heard some franchisors or franchisees saying, I've spent too much on that. I'm going to give it all up. I'm not going to do any print ads, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm just going to all go Facebook. It's like, okay, where's your analysis of that's where your market is and your audience?
Yeah, that sounds a little impulsive, mm-hmm. but you're right. You've got to analyze, you know, who are we trying to reach? Are these customers and these potential customers on Facebook? Do they read the newspaper? Do they open direct mail? Do they act on any of these things? I mean, that's sort of the first thing that people need to do. But I think we can safely say that there are some impulsive entrepreneur types in the franchising industry who like to make snap decisions.
Yes.
and speaking of which, we'll be seeing a lot of those types of folks at the convention in the very near future.
Actually, this weekend, the Houston Franchise Expo South is here for the first time, as far as I know. It's always been in Miami. So I'll be going there. And then whatever my app tells me how many days we have left until we gather in New Orleans for the IFA convention. And following the IFA convention, we'll have Frantech and AK I think AK already has her airline ticket to go to Frantech, which will be in Denver April. So we've got quite a bit coming up on the whole social franchising side. Lots of things coming up.
Yeah, this is really, you know, it really is conference season with Franchise Expo South. Is that this week or next
week? Yes, it actually, I know we have Laurie in the chat room from Computer Explorers, and she should have been downtown today setting up the booth, and so it opens tomorrow morning.
Okay. Great. So there's that, and you mentioned Frantech in April in Denver, and also there's the multi-unit franchising show that I believe is also in April. So it's a busy first quarter into, you know, second quarter with all of these franchise shows. It's like Super Bowl, Olympics, franchise shows, March Madness. That's sort of how I get through the coldness of winter here.
Right. Yeah. Well, and if we look at IFA, this will be the 54th, 52nd annual convention. But
yeah, I stopped counting when I can't figure out the Roman numerals right away.
Yeah.
I stop paying attention.
So, but, you know, over the last several years, how much, how many of the sessions and conversation is now wrapped around the whole social element, the digital marketing, because it is, as you said, it's part of what every business should be involved in.
It absolutely is. You know, the one other tip that I would throw out there for IFA is, I think we're all excited about, you know, the marketing and technology summit and the people who are speaking from, you know, Facebook or whatever other social channels and digital marketing success stories that people are going to share. The other thing that I would sort of challenge all marketers to do, something I have tried to do the past couple of years, is don't just go to the marketing sessions and only go to the cool stuff or the tech stuff. Try to sort of expand out and, you know, go to some sessions that are about operations or human resources or the Affordable Care Act. I know that's going to be the topic of a lot of conversations at IFA this year. You know, step outside of your comfort zone a little bit, simply because if that's not your role, you may not know much about some of those things, but I guarantee you're going to learn something. So, you know, don't just go for the marketing stuff. You know, hit some of the other topics as well, you know, franchise sales, operations, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
Good point. And I don't know if there are many conventions anymore, big ones like the IFA convention, that there's not an app for it. So I've been looking at the IFA app, which does that countdown. It's like I open it up and it just told me it's 17 days until the annual convention. But I can look at the schedule and mark my schedule, you know, which sessions I want to go to on Friday or Saturday or Sunday. And it's really helpful because it also allows me to set a timer or a notice saying you've got 30 minutes. It's like, oh, great. I've got to get from one session to another and I've got 30 minutes to go to that one.
Yeah, it seems like everything that I'm looking at starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. So it's going to be a lot of early mornings there.
Oh, and AK, we're going to be doing a Charity Miles walk. I know you're not going to be there, but on the Sunday morning, it's 7 a.m. Central. And this year, I think there's going to be quite a few because there's a big group that do a 5K. So they're going to be doing the run, and then I've got quite a group that's going to be doing the walk. And I had posted on Facebook, and I forget how many have signed up, 30 or 40, which is great. And, of course, Jack has organized a tweet up. So we'll be...
Yeah, that's Friday evening at the Hilton Riverside.
Yep, Spirits.
It's a little different, you know, this year with it being at the big convention center, not all sort of, you know, inside one specific hotel. So so I'm hoping quite a few people are staying either, if not at the Hilton, at, you know, one of the other hotels nearby. So come on by 7:30, I believe the tweet-up starts.
Yeah.
Details on that are find them on Tweetvite or any of the other places where Deb has left a lot of links.
Well, and it's on your site, jackmunson.com, so I know you put some information there too. So
yeah, it's right there, and we'll hope to see everybody there.
Very good. Well, I know we're coming up to the Geek It Out, but before we move to that, either one of you have any other great big tips or suggestions that franchisors or franchisees need to know about the whole digital marketing and social media, besides just do it?
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Oh, yeah, that's a very good one. Don't give up.
Yeah, don't be, like, super ambitious about it. You just listened to our show. You heard how much you need to do it, and then do it for a month, and then forget all about it. It's one of those things where it needs to constantly be oiled or it's not going to work.
And I think Jack made a good point. It's never too late to get started.
No, no, not at all. And I think, you know, if you're looking to hire some outside help, whether it's a service or an agency or someone to whether they just get you started or actually, you know, do a lot of the work for you, sometimes that can be the driving force to not give up. Because if you actually make a commitment to, you know, putting some resources into this, not just right now, but, you know, over the next 12 months. Sometimes that's, you know, what's the old saying, that, you know, 90% of success is just showing up. And, and I think that's a lot of it, is just the getting in the habit, getting in the cadence of posting and putting up some good content and doing some advertising and responding to people. And like AK said, that isn't just a thing to do, you know, this month. It's something that you really need to commit to doing, you know, even if it's just a few minutes a week over the course of the year. And I think you'll see some good results there. So,
great. Very good. Well, Jack, thank you so much. It's always fun to have you on with us. You can hang on the line for Geek It Out, or if you need to go, that's okay too. So AK, you about ready?
I'm ready.
Well, let's cue the music. All right. I'm ready. Cool. I got some new tabs open.
All right. Well, the first one, and like I emailed you, I honestly can't remember if I shared this last time or not, but I've been using it. If I did share it last time, I've been using it way more, so I know more of the features, so it'll be a little different anyway. But this one's called friendsplus.me, so FriendsPlus.me. This, as you'll see when you get to the main screen, basically facilitates sharing originating on Google+, but then that Google+ post can go wherever you want it, essentially. And you're basically, if you remember the website IFTTT, the if then, if whatever, where you basically create recipes and you say, okay, if I post something on Foursquare, I want it to go into my Google Calendar. It's similar to that, but of course, this is going to all be what you're pushing out publicly on your social media channel. So I'll tell you about sort of the two routes that I have set up, if you will. So I started with my personal Google+ profile, and I have my channel such that when I post there, I can decide if I also want that post to go through to my personal Facebook page, Do I want that post to go through to my personal Twitter? Do I want that post to go through to my personal LinkedIn? And I can do all three. I can do two of the three or just one. I could also do multiple Twitter accounts, so I might want to send it to my business Twitter account or my company LinkedIn page. So, and it's all done through hashtags. So when you set it up, you can say, I know that every time I post to this account, I'm probably going to want to post it to Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So you can kind of combine the hashtags. So your hashtag would be TFL, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. And then if you just wanted to do it to Twitter, you would just do hashtag T. So that you don't have to worry that what you're posting is going to go to all of the channels all of the time. You can really get specific in your messaging. So some things might only be pertinent to post on, you know, from Google Plus to Twitter. And you can totally skip Facebook and totally skip LinkedIn just by what hashtags you use. So then I also have sort of a path set up that originates with my company Google Plus page. So I can go from my company Google Plus page to my company Facebook page, to my company Twitter, to my company LinkedIn. I can even go to specific LinkedIn groups if I want to. So you can really kind of go all over the place. You can add as many Twitter accounts as you want, as many Facebook pages as you want, LinkedIn profiles, LinkedIn company pages. And again, it's not all automatic. You can automate it. You can say by default, every time I post to this Google Plus page or this Google Plus profile, I want it to go to these channels, or you can be very specific through the use of the hashtags. And what I really like about it is the posts look really nice. Especially when it pushes through to Twitter, it's capitalizing on how Twitter is now rendering images to auto-display in a Twitter feed. So whereas if you are one of those people who automatically feed your Facebook to Twitter so that every time you post on Facebook, it automatically goes through to Twitter, if you've posted an image, it's not going to go through and expand in your Twitter feed. It's going to kind of get looped into that Facebook shortened URL. The people have to click on that link to go back to your Facebook page and see the rest of the post. But if you originate on Google, on this app through Google Plus, you post it on Google Plus, it goes through to Facebook as a link if you want it to, and then that image will also carry through to Twitter. So you'll get that big auto-expanded image in Twitter to have your tweet show up more prominently in people's news feeds. So I really like it. It hasn't failed me yet in terms of posting where it should be. I really do like it. And one of the things I really like about it is the fact that it forces me to use Google Plus because everything originates from there. Right. I always was forgetting. Oh my gosh, it's been 2 weeks and I haven't posted to my Google Plus business page or my personal page. So it sort of forces me. I keep my Google personal page and my web or my business page open, and I have like a little cheat sheet that I have written out that tells me which hashtags to use based on what I created in there. I can't possibly keep it all straight in my head to tell me where I want my posts to go and, you know, when I want them to go out and everything. So it's really, really neat. I mean, I think it's a really cool concept.
Well, and I bet, and I'm looking at the, you know, setting up accounts, LinkedIn groups, I mean, that's something, or the LinkedIn page, the company page.
Right.
It's so easy to forget that company page. And I think most LinkedIn company pages, and I could be wrong, but I think most LinkedIn company pages are pretty static. They just set them up and they forget about them.
Yeah.
So that's with this, you've got some activity going. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, who I have to give credit to this is Scott Jordan, the CEO of Scotty Vest that we had over a year ago now. I follow him on pretty much all of his social media channels. And on Facebook, he was posting, and I could tell that it was a shortened, that his message had, like, gotten chopped off, and it was, like, a redirect. So I clicked on the link, and I'm like, excuse me, I'm like, that's really cool. That's taking me back to his Google Plus page. And then so I went back to Facebook, and if you kind of look around in somebody's Facebook post, it'll tell you if they're posting from an app or not, what the app was. And it said Friends Plus Me. And I was like, oh, I have to check that out. So he uses it constantly, and that's how I found out about it.
Oh, yeah, because I follow him, too, and he is on all the platforms, and there you go.
Now he's posting from, now he's constantly posting from Google Glass.
Yes. Yes, I see that. And actually, you had him on the show when during the last IFA convention, because I listened to it from Las Vegas,
okay.
But I was so tired that I couldn't join. So, I remember when you had him on.
Yeah.
Very nice. I like that. I'm going to set up my accounts tomorrow, so I'm going to leave that tab open.
Yep. All right. And then, let's see here. The next one, let's do an app. This is a fun app. It helps facilitate getting people together for meetings and events and tweet-ups and happy hours and such. It's called WePop. It's WEPOPP.com. And it's like the most simple app on earth to use. It's really similar to the web-based version of Doodle,
mm-hmm.
where you can say, okay, I want to invite these 10 people, and we have to find the most popular time that works for the majority of people. So you can say, okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to meet for drinks? So you click meet for drinks. You click which days are the options. You click which times on the days, and then you can send it to all of those people to pick their availability for those dates. But what's really nice about this particular app is the people that you're sending it to, they don't have to have the app to respond, and they don't have to register or log in for anything. So it's super easy on the end user perspective.
Oh, I have to keep that one open too. Cool.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to do another app because I've been playing with this one a lot lately. This one, and you might know about this one because you're kind of more into like the whole video photo sharing type stuff, I think. This one's called Flipagram. So it's FLIPAGRAM, flipagram.com.
Mm-hmm.
And basically when you go here, it's just going to prompt you to go and download it on your phone. But it basically allows you to upload photos and then put some music behind them. And it creates a little slideshow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really basic in concept. You can decide whether you want to do 15 seconds because that's the max for Instagram, or if you're not sharing it to Instagram and you want a longer video, you can do up to 30 seconds. What I like about this is that the video that you create shows up very, very nicely on Facebook. It's just as if you had put in a Facebook, it's just as if you had put in a YouTube URL, your little slideshow will sort of autoplay on your page. So it's really cool. It looks really nice. You can pick any music you want, or it has some preloaded music behind it. Super simple to use, so really good for, if you needed to show some things off.
Yeah, like your grandkids.
Exactly.
If you have those.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yep. She's telling us we only have 90 seconds.
All right. Oh, can I make my announcement about my new business name?
Yes. Yes. Do that. I meant to do that at the beginning.
So it's a very long story, but AK had to rebrand her business. It wasn't necessarily by choice, so I am no longer saying it's social, although the website is still up until I can build a new one. But my new business name is Web Conjunction. So I have an all-new Facebook page and an all-new Twitter account, all at Web Conjunction. So if you could come and like me and follow me, and that's still the same old me, just under a new look and a new name.
Yep, and we like it too. And great name. I remember you tried to crowdsource that as well. So very good. All right, we're down to like 20 seconds. So thank you, everybody. Jack, thanks for hanging on as long as you have. I will see you in about 17 days, Mr. Munson.
Very good,
and
yeah. Thank you.
I will. Yep. Talk to everyone later. So thanks so much, and have a great night.
Bye. Take care.
Oh, Don't show me.